Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Janna Balabha Giribhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Janna Balabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Janna Balabha Giribhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Janna Balabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Avanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivraj Acharya Stotara Sata Sri Srimad Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Granta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivraj Acharya Stotara Sata Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Guru Parampara Ki Jai Sad Goswami ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem Sigaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shamakunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Mathura Dham ki jai, Mayapura Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Yamuna Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जाय, सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय, बृहत मृदंग की जाय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय, गौर प्रेमानंद, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड ऑफ डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड ऑफ डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड ऑफ डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग, गौर प्रेमानंद. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Narang
chaiva narotamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasim Tato Jayam Udirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us first offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Hare Krishna. So reading Canto 2, Chapter 1, the first step in God realization, and this is text number 19.
Tatraika vyavayam dhyayed avyuchchine nachetasa mano nirvishayam yuktva tatakinchana nasmaret padang tatparamang vishnor mano yatra prasidati tatraika vayavam dhyayed avyuchchidne na chetasa mano nirvishayam yuktva tatakinchana nasmaret padang tatparamang vishnor mano yatra prasidati tatraika vayavam dhyayed avyuchchinena chetasa mano nirvishayam yuktva tatakinchana nasmaret padang tatparamang vishnor mano yatra prasidati. Vayavam dhyayed avyuchchinnena chetasa mano nirvishayan yuktva tadakinchana nasmaret param tat paramam vishnor mano yatra prasidati tatraika vayavam dhyayed avyuchchinnena chetasa mano nirvishayan yuktva tatakinchana nasmaret tatam paramam vishnor anorni siddhati tatraika vayavam dhyayed avyuchchinnena chetasa anornishishayam yuktva yakinchena smara padam na paramang nashor mano yatra prasidati tatra thereafter eka one by one
avyayam, limbs of the body,
gyayet,
should be concentrated upon.
Avyuchchinena,
without being deviated from the complete form.
Chetasa,
by the mind.
Mana,
mind.
Nirvishayam,
without being contaminated by sense objects.
Yuktva,
being dovetailed.
Tatak,
after that.
Kinchana,
anything.
Na,
do not.
Smaret,
think of.
Padam,
personality.
Tat,
that.
Paramam,
supreme.
Vishnu,
of Vishnu.
Mana,
the mind.
Yatra,
whereupon.
Prasidati,
becomes reconciled.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Thereafter, you should meditate upon the limbs of Vishnu, one after another, without being deviated from the conception of the complete body. Thus, the mind becomes free from all sense objects. There should be no other thing to be thought upon. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is the ultimate truth, the mind becomes completely reconciled in Him only. Purport. Foolish persons, bewildered by the external energy of Vishnu, do not know that the ultimate goal of the progressive search after happiness is to get in touch directly with Lord Vishnu, the Personality of Godhead. Vishnu Tattva is an unlimited expansion of different transcendental forms of the Personality of Godhead, and the supreme or original form of Vishnu Tattva is Govinda, or Lord Krishna, the supreme cause of all causes. Therefore, thinking of Vishnu or meditating upon the transcendental form of Vishnu, specifically upon Lord Krishna, is the last word on the subject of meditation. This meditation may be begun from the lotus feet of the Lord. One should not, however, forget or be misled from the complete form of the Lord. Thus, one should practice thinking of the different parts of His transcendental body, one after another. Here in this verse, it is definitely assured that the Supreme Lord is not impersonal. He is a person. But His body is different from those of conditioned persons like us. Otherwise, meditation beginning from the pranava, omkara, up to the limbs of the personal body of Vishnu would not have been recommended by Shukadeva Goswami for the attainment of complete spiritual perfection. The Vishnu forms of worship in great temples of India are not, therefore, arrangements of idol worship, as they are wrongly interpreted to be by a class of men with a poor fund of knowledge. Rather, they are different spiritual centers of meditation on the transcendental limbs of the body of Vishnu. The worshipable deity in the temple of Vishnu is identical with Lord Vishnu by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Therefore, a neophyte's concentration or meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu in the temple, as contemplated in the revealed scriptures, is an easy opportunity for meditation for persons who are unable to sit down tightly at one place and then concentrate upon pranava omkara, or the limbs of the body of Vishnu, as recommended herein by Shukadeva Goswami, the great authority. The common man can benefit more by meditating on the form of Vishnu in the temple than on the omkara, the spiritual combination of A-U-M as explained before. There is no difference between omkara in the form and the forms of Vishnu, but persons unacquainted with the science of absolute truth try to create dissension by differentiating between the forms of Vishnu and that of Omkara. Here it is indicated that the Vishnu form is the ultimate goal of meditation, and as such it is better to concentrate upon the forms of Vishnu than on impersonal Omkara. The latter process is also more difficult than the former.
Om agyana timirandasya agyananjana shalakaya chakshurun vilitam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha mukam kavati vachalam pangum rangayate girim yat kripata maham vande sri gurum dinataranam jaya sri krishna chaitana prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhar sri vasadi gaura bhaktarinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So sometimes the emphasis in the Vedic literatures becomes confusing to those who are followers of the Vedic wisdom, the Vedic civilization. There are many different recommendations in the Vedas, and it's very similar. It can be compared to kind of a hospital, in the sense that there are many different types of sick people, and there are different cures for all these different types of illnesses. So for one disease, there may be one recommended cure, another disease, another recommended cure. But the ultimate goal is always the same, which is to bring one back to a normal condition of health, physical and mental health. So from a broad perspective, one, especially as devotees, we have a very broad perspective of the Vedic knowledge. Even though some of us, most of us here, maybe we're not born in Vedic civilization or born as in Brahmana families or something like that, or born in India. But because we've come in touch with a pure Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada, in the disciplic succession of pure devotees coming from Lord Brahma, we have been given this broad understanding of the Vedic literature, of Vedic knowledge, which even those who are born in the Vedic culture, who are born perhaps in Brahmana families and raised in all of these different systems of worship and study of the Vedas and etc., even many of them don't have this broader perspective of Vedic understanding, which we as Vaishnavas do. And here it's being explained, a particular path to God realization. And this path of meditation on the limbs of Lord Vishnu, starting with his feet. Later on it's explained starting with the feet and going up to different limbs of his body. So we have this complete conception, and therefore we can understand all the different parts within the science. You know, sometimes people are, they get stuck in a particular area or a particular rut. They become yogis. So they practice yoga and they perform meditation, and they concentrate on certain portions of the Vedas and have a certain philosophical understanding of the Vedas, and they get sort of more or less stuck within that position without understanding the ultimate goal. So this is sometimes the danger. So many different types of medicines, and if one thinks only my medicine works, yes, or only my medicine will bring everyone back to health, therefore everyone should take this medicine. Or even in the Western world, you know, you have the sort of fanatical Western theologies, Christianity or Islam is not exactly Western, but who think that my way is the only way. This process that I'm doing is the only way, and every other way is not correct, or it's a product of Satan or the devil, etc. So one gets stuck in this sort of a fanatical position and forgets the overall picture. But again, as devotees, we're trying to cultivate an understanding of all these different processes and how they all fit in together. And although we're concentrated, we're also concentrated on a particular process, bhakti yoga. And there's a reason for that. All these other processes in the Vedic literatures, they're called naimittika karmas. And what this means is they're sort of preliminary processes of purification. Because bhakti yoga is the ultimate understanding, is the ultimate goal to reach, and that also will be concluded at the end of these chapters by Shukadeva Goswami. It's the ultimate conclusion of the Vedic understanding of yoga, of austerity, that we heard these verses in the first canto. I forget the Sanskrit, that Vasudeva para veda, Vasudeva para mukha, what's it called? Prakriya. Anyway. So all these different products, they ultimately lead to Vasudeva. And one of the previous verses in this chapter ends, Ante Narayana Smriti, the famous quote, Ante Narayana Smriti, to always remember Vishnu. So this is indicated throughout all the different explanations, but these other explanations have to be given. And sometimes we wonder, well, what is the point of all? Why do we have to even understand all these other processes? Or why are all these other processes there? Why not just get to the point of bhakti yoga? But we have to understand, again, from the broad perspective, this whole material creation is meant to fulfill the desires of the conditioned souls. And in order to fulfill all those desires, the Lord has given the Vedas. And within these Vedas, all different types of material desires can be fulfilled. And in order to fulfill those desires, there are authorized processes of worship of different demigods. If you want to be beautiful, you worship a particular demigod. If you want to gain wealth, you worship a particular demigod. Knowledge, a good husband, or elevation to higher planets, or yogic powers. All these different things are allowed. It's permissible under the Vedic regulations. Because of the nature of the conditioned soul, he can't just give up material desires. So the Lord gives an authorized process. And if that authorized process is carried out, then there will be purification. Gradual purification. Gradual purification of the heart will be there. And then finally, after accruing all the benefits of following the authorized processes, then one can get the ultimate advantage of meeting a pure devotee of the Lord and understanding what the ultimate goal is. So all of these other different processes that are described in the Vedic literatures, and I'll read something here also from later on, they're all meant for ultimate purification and for meditation on Vishnu, and to ultimately reach the point of pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But there's some interesting on this point of why are all these other processes there? What are all these other processes? Krishna speaks about so many different processes of yoga in the Bhagavad Gita. Why, you could have made the book a lot smaller just by saying, you know, Sarva Dharman Paritya Judges, surrender to me. You know, you could have just said that to Arjuna and forget about everything else. But through gradual process, you know, he elevated Arjuna intellectually, philosophically, through all of these different methods, emotionally, and he elevated gradually the consciousness of Arjuna. So finally, he gave him the ultimate instruction. So the same goes for all of us. In a sense, we need to gain philosophical understanding and to convictions about the process of Krishna consciousness, how it relates to all these other different systems of religion and philosophy. And once we gain that conviction, then we become fixed in our devotional service. Very important to reach that point of conviction in what we're doing in Krishna consciousness. But I did want to read later on what at the end, towards the end of the chapter of the Lord in the Heart, where just to verify this point that all of these different processes are approved by the Vedas. They're not just unimportant. Actually, there was one conversation with Srila Prabhupada and this Indian gentleman on a morning walk, and they were talking about Lord Buddha. And Lord Buddha is, although he's an incarnation of Krishna, but he's rejected as an atheist because he rejects the Vedas. Anyone who doesn't follow the Vedas, who rejects the Vedas, is called Nasti. He's an atheist. And Buddha is considered an atheist, and his path is considered non-Vedic because he rejected the Vedas. And Prabhupada got into an argument with this Indian man, was on the topic of vegetarianism. Because in the Vedas, there are also allowances under very great restriction. There are allowances for meat eating. Now, that doesn't mean that the Vedas say you can eat meat, therefore we should go and eat meat, and just because the Vedas say so. See, people, you can twist it around that way. But the real meaning is that the tendency to eat meat is there, but it has to be restricted. Or the tendency for sex is there, it has to be restricted through marriage, through regulated marital life. So unrestricted meat eating is also controlled through the injunctions of the Vedas to restrict the tendency, not to encourage it. So it has to be seen in that way. That way we can understand the science behind the Vedic philosophy and the Vedic direction that's given there. But this conversation, this Indian man was arguing with Srila Prabhupada, actually, if I can remember exactly. He was arguing that he would never accept anything to do with eating meat. And Prabhupada was trying to explain to him, well, in the Vedas it does explain that you can eat meat, but it has to be done with regulation. And he was saying that I'm trying to remember, I can't remember the exact, because Lord Buddha rejected the Vedas, therefore he was an atheist. No, I can't remember the point exactly now. Do you remember this conversation? No, I can't remember the point probably. It's related, but the point is not coming clear to me. But let me read this one section here. Yes. Let me just skip that point. This verse is from text 32 in chapter 2, The Lord in the Heart. Your Majesty Maharaj Parikshit, know that all that I have described in reply to your proper inquiry is just according to the version of the Vedas, and it is eternal truth. This was described personally by Lord Krishna unto Brahma, with whom the Lord was satisfied upon being properly worshipped. And the purport Prabhupada says here, the two different ways of reaching chapter 2, canto 2, chapter 2, text number 32. Do you want to show it? The two different ways of reaching the spiritual sky and thereby getting emancipation from all material bondage, namely, either the direct process of reaching the kingdom of God or the gradual process through the other higher planets of the universe, are set forth exactly according to the version of the Vedas. So here we see there's a direct process and there's an indirect process. And for most people, the indirect process is recommended. It's recommended. This gradual process, sometimes it takes many, many births. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudulabha bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam mam prapadyate. After many births of cultivating knowledge, or after many births of practicing prescribed duties in the Vedic system and karma yoga, this gradual process leads to devotional service. Because ultimately, Krishna cannot be understood except by devotional service. Bhakti mam abhijanati avanyas chas vitatvata tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. And then at the end of the 15th chapter, Krishna says about he describes, yo mam evam asamudho janati purushottamam sasarvavid bhajate mam sarvabhavena bharata. So this verse, the last two verses of the 15th chapter, this verse means, whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is to be understood as the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharat. Then the next verse confirms this point of this ultimate understanding. Iti guyatamam shastram idam uktam mayanagha etad buddhva buddhiman syat krita krityascha bharata. This is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures, O sinless one, and it is disclosed now by me. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So everything leads to these points. Everything leads to this understanding, and finally the ultimate understanding that sarva dharman parityajad is give up all of the other lesser processes and surrender unto me. Just offer me a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water with love and devotion, and I shall accept that. So this is the process of devotional service. Man mana bhava mad bhakta madhyajimam namaskaru. Think of me, offer your obeisances unto me, worship me, and in the end you shall come to me. And all the other processes, whether they be karma yoga or jnana yoga, they have to somehow also be mixed with devotional service. There's this later on in the second canto here, the famous akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That whether one is full of all material desires, or has no material desires, or desires liberation, he should approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for fulfillment of those particular longings. So even within the lesser paths, they have to be mixed with bhakti yoga, they have to be mixed with devotional service. But pure devotional service, when one comes to the point of pure devotional service, then anya bilashita shunyam, jnana karma adinavritam, then all karma, all jnana, mental speculation, fruitive desires, it's all given up. It's all cast off. So somehow or other, we as devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, we have come to the ultimate goal without all these other lesser paths. It's often described, Prabhupada once described, that Krishna consciousness is like the sledgehammer. Yes. You have you hammer a nail into a piece of wood, so you can do it with a hammer. It'll take, 10 or 15 blows, but if you have a sledgehammer, you can do it in one blow. So this is the sledgehammer process. That means we don't have to undergo any other processes of purification. We're immediately put in the position of being devotees of Vishnu without any other previous qualifications. And once Srila Prabhupada also described that Krishna consciousness means you get put in the judge's seat and then you develop the qualifications. So sometimes, people don't understand this, particularly in India. Sometimes the Brahmana class, they don't accept Western Vaishnavas. Right? They don't accept Western Vaishnavas. Sometimes we're not allowed in temples in India because of our lower birth. Basically, the Western birth is mlecha, yavana, that means meat eaters, low caste, those who are nowhere within the purview of Vedic, the Vedic religion. They're like outcast. So they're not allowed in temples. It's not accepted that we can become brahmanas, or if it's possible, it's in our next life. They say the Hare Krishna devotees, the Westerners, they can worship Lord Vishnu, and then in the next life they can take birth in the family of a brahmana and then develop the qualifications. But it's two different things. There's the social system and there's the spiritual hankering. Spiritual system. I don't mean the spiritual meaning brahmana, kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. I mean, the spiritual system means the hankering for self-realization. The hankering for self-realization is beyond the social and spiritual orders, classes of Vedic society. And anyone can become qualified on that path of spiritual realization, no matter what his birth. Yes. There's many verses in the Vedic literature that state that even if one, Andra Pulinda Pulkasha, another verse with lots of names in it, of fallen classes of individuals. If they come into the association of a pure devotee, by the power of the pure devotee, they become qualified for spiritual realization. Whereas again, on the other hand, if a brahmana who has all the qualifications, shamo damastapak, shocham, shantir, arjumam, evacha, gyanam, vigyanam, astikyam, brahma karma, svabhavajam, even if he has all the qualifications of a brahmana, if he has no devotion, no real devotion, pure devotion to Vishnu, then he's lesser than the dog eater who is a Vaishnava. Sorry about that. So these are the statements of the Vedic literature. So the direct path is the best path, and anyone is qualified to take that path. It's the ultimate goal of all the other paths. But it's the most difficult to understand. It's the most difficult to understand. Therefore, very few are seen to take to the direct path. Very few can understand the meaning, the value, the substantiality, the benefits of this direct path. And that brings, into question, why is that? And the answer again is very simple, because we are all conditioned souls, filled with material desire, and the very thing which we have to understand, which is pure devotional service to Vishnu, is the very thing which we have rejected in the first place. So this is an important understanding for devotees to have in our getting again back to this point of the broader picture of the Vedic understanding. Sometimes Sukadeva Goswami describes different processes to get there, which are within the pure devotional path. Lord Krishna describes different kinds of yogis in chapter 4, and their processes are all authorized. He also says this is all authorized by the Vedic literature. But then again, he concludes by saying, and of all the yogis, the one who is my devotee is the best. So again, why not get to the point immediately? We as devotees, we should try to understand this broad perspective. Everything fits in within the Vedic perspective if it's authorized by the Vedas and any religious system. This Srila Prabhupada never spoke or said anything against any religion which brought one to the path of learning how to love God. He said the path of religion is to learn what is God, to know what God is, to understand God, and to love Him. To understand God and to love Him. That's the path of religion, the authorized path. And any religion which does that is an authorized path. So that's the broad perspective. And then within that broad perspective is bhakti yoga, pure devotional service. And once one reaches that bhakti yoga, then he's reached the end. And better yet, if one can immediately come to bhakti yoga, then, here's as we say this, the end and the means are the same. It's an important point to understand. The end and the means are the same. Sometimes in some of these processes that are described, it seems like they're doing all these different things, meditating and purifying and, you know, merging the mind into this part of material nature and merging the senses into that part of nature. Very intricate procedures are described. But the ultimate goal is, the ultimate end is to reach pure devotional service. But one who takes to the process of devotional service, he's already reached the end. So therefore the end and the means are the same. So in one sense, as Prabhupada also described, we're pure devotional service, Krishna consciousness, we're like mangoes. You know, you have a mango. Mango is a mango, but there's an unripe mango and a ripe mango. So the unripe mango may still be green, it's not yet sweet, but it's still a mango. And when it reaches ripeness, then it's still a mango, but it's fully ripe, fully sweet and juicy. So Krishna consciousness, from beginning to the end, is the same. We're chanting Hare Krishna, and as described here in this purport, we're meditating on Vishnu, the form of Vishnu, the deity worship. The impersonalists think that this process of deity worship, ahangopasana, that ultimately when one reaches perfection, there'll be no more deity worship. Or by chanting, some impersonalists also chant Hare Krishna. And their understanding is that by chanting Hare Krishna, that in the end, we'll stop chanting Hare Krishna. But that's not the Vaishnava's understanding. The Vaishnava understanding is that worshipping the deity, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, associating with devotees, rendering service to the Vaishnavas, these things are never going to stop. They're only going to increase more and more. So when we become more spiritually perfect, we want to serve more. We want to worship the deity more. We want to chant more. We want to take prasadam more. Yeah. Well, you'll take prasadam in a more devotional state of mind, and you might eat a little less on account of that. But in the spiritual world, there's no question. I mean, Krishna and his cowherd friends are all sitting in the pastures. They're taking their lunch. They're going home, having dinner, having breakfast. I don't remember exactly, but there was one thing again I'm forgetting exactly, but Prabhupada said in the spiritual world, Krishna, you know, particularly in Krishna Loka, there's no like strict rules or regulations. Krishna just plays and takes prasadam with his devotees and herds the cows and plays his flute. So that's what we're looking forward to doing in Vaikuntha, in Krishna Loka. Our ultimate aim is Krishna Loka and the association with that particular form of the divinity. And there we're just enjoying with Krishna. So that's the ultimate goal. And the more our consciousness becomes spiritualized and purified, we realize we're already doing that. We're already doing that. So it's not like it's hard work. You know, I'm in the kitchen with Jagannath Puridam grinding it out in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning and just, you know, it's hard work. I actually like doing it because it's spiritual service to the cause of spreading Krishna consciousness. You know, you have to rest and, you know, do other things as well. There's variety within Krishna consciousness as well, but it's not drudgery. Cleaning the bathroom in the temple is not drudgery. Sweeping the temple floors is not drudgery. The gopis are sweeping the pathways in Krishna Loka. There's no dirt. I don't know, maybe there's spiritual dust or dirt, but there's no drudgery. They do it out of love, out of devotion. So the more our love and our devotion develops, the more we want to do these things. Like Lokanath Goswami, Narottama Das Thakur was the first and perhaps only disciple of Lokanath Das Goswami. And at first, Lokanath Maharaj did not want to accept Narottama as his disciple. But in order to gain the favor of his guru, he took the lowest service possible to Lokanath Maharaj. Lokanath Maharaj would go into the woods and pass stool, and Narottam would be hiding in the bushes, waiting for him to go away and finish and go away. And he would clean up the spot where he passed the stool. And this was going on for many days, and Lokanath Maharaj would come back to his spot where he would pass stool and say, well, somebody, who's cleaning up this spot? Somebody's doing this service for me. So one day he hid in the bushes and he saw Narottam come out of the bushes and clean up the spot. And Narottam fell at his feet and said, please, I'm requesting that you initiate me. And because of that humble service, which he enjoyed doing, he gave initiation to Narottam. He became the famous Narottam Das Thakur, who's all these beautiful songs that we sing in the songbook, that we sing his songs. So such devotion was there. So it's not that he was thinking that this is a terrible service. I don't want to. He's thinking this is the lowest service, but I'm accepting it as nectar. So what to speak of chanting Hare Krishna or taking prasadam, these are also devotional activities. So this is the direct process. This is the direct process. The ultimate goal of all the conditioned souls within the material universe, it's not karma yoga, it's not jnana yoga, it's not ashtanga yoga, or any other process. The goal is simply to engage in loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in order to get to that simple awareness, you got this whole complicated, sometimes very, very complicated, gradual procedure, which is enunciated in the Vedic literatures. But it's all bypassed through the process of Krishna consciousness. We haven't made this up. This is not something that we just, some guru in India professed. This is the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures. It's the conclusion of all the great acharyas throughout history, coming from Lord Brahma to Narada and Vyas and Ramanuj and Madhvacharya and all the other great saints and sages and of Vedic civilization. So that's all I have to say on this topic. And if anyone has any questions, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Any questions?
So is it like if it's the highest, is the highest understanding bhakti yoga, and you mentioned that by it's open for all, and by being in a position of a devotee, we develop the qualifications to perform devotional service. So how is it that it's open for all, but we don't see that everyone takes it? So why, if it is open for all, then
It's open for all, but why don't people recognize Krishna consciousness? That's the very power of illusion. A lot of different ways you could answer that or look at that, but again, as I said before, the original, you could say the original sin, the very disease for which we've come to the material world, is what keeps us from understanding Krishna consciousness. This disease is the independence from Krishna, the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So even if someone sees or reads the books or something and they don't recognize, it's due to strong material desires. See, even Krishna consciousness was available at all times in Vedic times, throughout history, the direct process, surrendering Krishna. But it wasn't given as freely. Now, in this particular time period of Kali Yuga, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, it's just distributed freely. Everyone can take. He's giving it to everyone. But the unfortunate thing is that people don't recognize it. That's the problem. We're enamored by technology, by material advancement, by so many things. And as Prabhupada said, at one time during a morning walk, he sort of predicted in one sense that there would be a great war sometime in the future. And he said, the preaching will be very good, because people generally don't take an interest in spiritual life unless they're suffering. If everything's fine, everything's okay, I've got my money, my bank balance, and my family, and my job and my position, there's no impetus to pursue spiritual life. So sometimes one has to experience a great deal of suffering in order to take to spiritual life. So nowadays, this Kali Yuga, everybody is enamored by the advancement of material civilization. It's so hard to get them to take any interest in spiritual life at all. I can. Anyone else want to comment on that? Gopal.
Well, several years ago, when we went to war in Iraq or whatever, it was around that time. There was a couple different things that happened around when more people started coming over here, and being interested more bhaktas and stuff like that. And it was around that period of time. A couple other things happened. But that may be evidence of that, actually.